accession number 28760, reel 2.
Just to... So you then the ship comes back. Did you tour the ship and see the the damage done to it by when you were steaming back to Scotland?
No, we went from we left the we left there because of lack of fuel. So went to Iceland. First stop, back to and refilled in Iceland, and then went to Rosyth Dockyard.
And what happened?
Repairs.
What happened to the Bismarck after that?
Well, she was sunk by. Well, she got attacked by aircraft from the Ark Royal, torpedoed, and she was eventually sunk by HMS Dorchester, the cruiser.
So you come back into to Rosyth, and this,
yeah.
And this is now, where are we now, what time-wise? We're still in May?
Right in May, yeah. And in August, we took Winston Churchill to Newfoundland to meet President Roosevelt.
And did you see him on the ship?
Oh yeah, Churchill quite often. He's the one that runs the ship at night. Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
Oh, I spoke to him several times. Yes.
How did he strike?
He seemed quite a good chap. Yeah.
What did he wear?
It's just siren suit mostly. And he used to walk around the ship at night, and he could find anyone anywhere.
And he was on his own, or did he have...
Oh, he had a lot of several people with him. And he met up with Roosevelt in Newfoundland.
In August of 1941?
In the 41, yes, yeah.
And when the ship steamed to Newfoundland, was it escorted?
Yeah, oh yes. I had several destroyers with us. But we did a fast run. As a matter of fact, whilst he was on the ship between England and Newfoundland, he broadcast on the radio as if he was still in England, or as a camouflage to defer the Germans from where he was.
And I mean, what do you remember of him as he wandered through the ship? You'd be down in your quarters, and suddenly Churchill would come through, or just can you remember any one specific incident or what he said?
No, he just was wandering on his own and smoking his cigar, and that was it. Or up on the upper deck, reading across on the guardrail. He didn't used to bother us at all.
Your officers were, what was the most senior Marine officer you had on the ship?
Captain. Yeah. The Captain of Marines. We had one captain of the Marines called Owen, and two lieutenants, Lieutenant Vernon and Lieutenant Sheridan. And there's six senior NCOs, sergeants. Owen, a colour sergeant, sergeant major, and 12 corporals, and the rest were Marines.
And again, the messing was done in the same way. You didn't have a canteen. You would send someone off.
Oh yeah, send up the galley. Yeah.
And you were again in hammocks.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah.
And if you came to action stations, you had to clear everything away.
That's right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you go to Newfoundland, and do you go ashore there?
No. We just stayed on ship, guard of honours, and that for Churchill.
Did Roosevelt come out to the ship, or did you?
Yes, Roosevelt came aboard the ship, yeah. First time I saw him, but if I realised he was more or less a cripple. He came on the arm of his son. His son was there on the ship.
Did he look in bad health?
No, he didn't look in bad health, no.
And how long was the ship in Newfoundland?
3 days. Hello, Jack.
Hi, hello. And what happened then? The ship steamed back, Churchill came back on board?
Yeah, he came back aboard. We had, was there for 3 days. We had 2 days of conferences. We had on the Sunday, we had a church service on the quarterdeck of the Prince of Wales with a mixed American and British sailors. and we came back through back to England.
Because at this time, of course, America wasn't in the war.
No.
But obviously, did you get any wind of what they were talking about?
No, not at all.
None of that was related to the crew?
No. Oh, we just started doing being there.
And then the ship again steams flat out back to Britain.
Back to Scapa. And on the way back through, we went through a 52 ship convoy. We were sailing through to England. And we all went, we steamed it through with Churchill on the, over there waving his hat around, going through the convoy.
High speed.
Full high speed.
I mean, what would the Prince of Wales do at top speed?
32 knots.
And the convoy is probably travelling at about 15.
Yeah, less than that probably. Yeah. We went through it three times, up and down three times through the convoy. Yeah.
So that he could see, sort of like a review.
So he could see and they could see him. Yeah.
So you're back then in Scapa Flow. It's now midsummer, isn't it? It's now June. What happens next?
After that, where do we go? I looked at it anyway. Oh, in October we left. We left England for Far East.
So this is now, we're now in the October.
October,
1941.
Yeah.
I mean, in between.
We were at the Mediterranean in between August and October. And the convoy duties.
What was that like?
Just ordinary patrol the convoys, taking a convoy to Malta from Gib.
And were you attacked?
Aircraft attacked us several times. Yeah.
Well, was it pretty hot? Was it pretty fast and furious?
Or? Oh, it was pretty hectic at times, yeah.
What kind of aircraft were attacking the ship?
Italian, mostly. I forget now what they were.
Oh, don't worry. So you were fighting off, and you were again more on Akak, which...
Yeah, on the pom-pom, yeah.
Right. And did you go ashore in Malta?
No, not that time, no. We didn't go in, we just went outside of Malta and turned around and came back again. Back to Gib.
And the convoy that you were escorting, was it a big convoy?
We started off being, we lost about three ships, I think, on the way through. With aircraft. But,
two aircraft? Not
yeah. We got there eventually, yeah.
Was the Prince of Wales hit?
No, not then. Luckily.
Right. So then you've come back from the Mediterranean, and it's now September 41, and you begin the long voyage to...
Well, we left... We left Scotland with Admiral Phillips on board. Went to Freetown, study cruise out to Freetown, then Colombo, and we arrived in Singapore on the 2nd of December 1941 with the HMS Repulse. We picked up the Repulse at Colombo. She joined us at Colombo.
And you steamed out directly, there were no deviations?
Just straight there.
And you bunkered in Freetown.
Yeah, Freetown, calling it Cape Town. Had a nice time at Cape Town. Three days.
You went ashore.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
How were you received?
Very well.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
Oh, they piped on the ship. Anyone wishing to go ashore, be on the jetty at 2 o'clock. And there was cars and taxis to pick anybody up, take you anywhere we wanted to go. And three of us went off in a car with someone, and it took us out in the mountains for lunch. Very nice. Very nice people there at the time.
And then you come back to the ship and you go on to...
Went on from there, went to Colombo. we picked up the Repulse. And then from there we went to Singapore.
And in Singapore, what happens in Singapore? You have the ship, you dock in Singapore?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you refuel again, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, it was refuel and everything like that. And
are you issued with tropical kit?
Well, we already had that on the ship, but on the way out, yeah. Yeah.
What were your first impressions of the tropics? I mean, a Devon boy.
Really hot.
Hot and clammy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And did you go ashore there?
Well, because we was there for 3 or 4 weeks.
And do you remember anything of those sort of runs ashore?
Well, typical run ashore.
In what respect?
Where you went where you're supposed not to go, put it that way.
Which was?
There's a place called Lavender Street. It was like that.
And what did you get up to in Lavender Street?
Well, like pubs, drinking.
Girls?
Well, I'm not saying. Yeah.
And, I mean, was it, you know, were there punch-ups with other ships' companies, or was it all pretty...
No, it was all pretty good, really. No, it was quite good. Yeah. Well, at least when I was there,
And then you go back onto the ship. And then... This is now the end of December, isn't it, 41?
Yeah, well, early part of December.
And in that period, you're in Singapore. What other work does the ship do? Or she's alongside at that time, is she?
She's alongside. All we're doing was just nothing at all. Just alongside, and then they decided to apparently, we could gather. They reckon that the Japs were landing troops on the coast of Malaya. And Admiral Phillips, in his wisdom, decided to go and investigate. And he was told, apparently, as we heard later on, that he couldn't get any air support. And he went on his own, off his own bat. And we went up with the Repulse and 3 destroyers. Express, Echo, and the Data Vampire up the coast of Malaya to find farm where the Japs were landing. And on the, I forget what, now, what on the 9th it must have been, on the 9th, he said that we had been spotted by aircraft, so expect some action. The following day, and we couldn't find any landing, so we started on our way back to Singapore. And about 10:30, the following day, the 10th, we got attacked by a Japanese aircraft, torpedo bombers.
You were on Akak.
I was on the pom pom, yeah.
And can you describe the attack?
Yeah, they attacked the Repulse first. She was the first one to be hit.
And how did they attack? Did they come low over the sea, or
the funny thing about it, when the Germans and Italians attacked us, they were coming and dropping a torpedo and then we turn away. But the Japanese didn't. They come and drop their torpedoes and flew over the ship, machine gunning, straight over. And then we got attacked by torpedo bombers and got hit on the stern by the propeller shaft, which meant we couldn't move the propeller. We were going round in circles.
Move the rudder?
With the rudder, rather, yeah.
And had the Repulse been...
She was hit several times.
By torpedoes?
By torpedoes, yeah, mostly, yeah.
So you were up on your Akak position, and these Japanese gunners, torpedo bombers were coming over, dropping their torpedoes. How far away did they drop their torpedoes? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know, I was too busy to fight, too busy out doing ammunition for the Pol Pots to worry about, you know, if we're about to be dropping them.
And did you hear the feel the first torpedo hit?
Oh, yeah, several times, yes, yeah.
She was, how many times was the Prince? I mean, I'm just trying to get an image of this action, you know, how long it lasted.
There was about three. She had about three hits. And then later on, we could hear an aircraft, and the Captain Marines who was alongside of me looked up and he said, "Is there up there?" And we saw high level bombers going over. And we could see the bombs leave the plane. They came down and they hit the ship right amidships on a catapult deck.
And you were aft, so you.
Yeah.
So this was. This is the other side of the bridge from you?
Or? Well, yeah, the other side of the guns, yeah, from us, yeah, where we were. Yeah. And midships.
And what happened next?
Well, then the captain of the Marines, Leach, gave her to abandon ship. She was listing pretty badly at the time.
This is the captain of the ship, not the captain of the Marines?
No, captain of the ship, Leach. He said abandon ship. And... one of these straight HMS Express came up to the quarter deck and took off the wounded that we had there. And she went off. We went astern again. And most of us jumped in the sea, swam around, picked up bits of wreckage, and I got picked up by the destroyers.
And did you see
the ship? Singapore.
Did you see the ship go down?
Yeah.
How far away? I mean, can you talk me through the process of where did you jump into the sea from?
I jumped in the sea from the quarter deck. And swam away from the ship.
Which way was the ship listing, to port or to starboard?
Port, I think it was.
So you jumped to port and then swam as far away as you could?
Oh, yeah. Sounds really good.
And you were with your particular gun crew?
No, we just split up. Just split every man for himself.
Pretty chaotic.
Oh, it was, yes. Yeah.
And the ship was on fire?
No, she wasn't on fire as such. No, she was just back to the ship. She just sink, taking in water.
And she was listing. And
yeah.
So then you jump into the water and you do watch... Do you watch the actual moment of the ship going down, or do you just swimming hard to get away from it?
Well, swimming hard to get away from it, and then you happen to turn around. And I don't remember seeing it going down, but I saw the repulse go down, because it was so clear, you were so upright on the Prince of Wales. But I can't remember seeing the Prince actually go down, because I was swimming in the water.
But sorry, you were on the Prince of Wales when the repulse went down.
The repulse
went down first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you saw her go down. How did she go down?
She just went, rolled over and turned over on her, upside down, and went down.
Very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that must have filled you with horror.
It did, yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah. And we were swimming around in the water, and I got picked up by HMS Express with all of it. Crew of us, and taken to Singapore.
Were there any lifeboats? Do you, I mean, floating?
Oh, there was boats floating off the Prince as they were released, and that, yes.
Carly lifeboats?
Oh, yeah, but Carly floats, lifeboats, planks of timber.
And did you get onto, did you get onto a float? Did you get onto a lifeboat?
No, luckily I swam to the destroyer itself, because it was more or less stopped, and I swam to the destroyer.
And the bombers held off?
No, as soon as the sea went up, they flew away. They flew off, didn't bother us. They didn't bother the other, smaller ships. They were after the big ones.
That's strange, really, behaviour, well, isn't it? Considering the Japanese had such a ferocious reputation.
Exactly, yeah. And then they left us alone. And the war left the destroyers to pick up as many as we could.
And so... The destroyers must have been packed with
people. Oh, we were, yes. Yeah, because there was only three destroyers with us. And they had people from the Repulse and the Prince of Wales to pick up.
And we were in a state of shock, I should think.
Yeah.
The whole ship had gone down. And
We went back to Singapore dockyard.
And there were badly injured people on the ship?
There was, yeah, some, especially some of those dockers from down below. Yeah.
They were burnt, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Terrible burnt, yeah. Yeah.
And in the water, was there oil in the water?
Yeah, oil, oh God, yeah, oil flowing around, yeah.
So you come back to Singapore, and it's a very sort of somber moment, I suppose, when you all land on the dockside.
Yeah. Well, apparently the HMS Exeter was in Singapore at the same time, and they cleared out one of the warehouses there, and all tables there laid out, and put food on for us. And as we went in the door, they gave us a tot of rum. Very nice.
And so what happened next?
Well, all the Marines from the two ships were taken to the naval barracks, HMS Sultan. And were based there.
How many Marines were lost? Do you remember the figures? How many?
Oh, I forget now. I forget how many was now lost.
Did you lost close friends?
Oh, yeah, I was the one or two of my close friends, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And how did you feel that you were lucky to be alive?
Oh, yes, very lucky. Yeah.
And, I mean, in terms of the. Were you impressed by the Japanese ability to push home this attack, and were they better, they were more skilled than was expected, do you think?
Well, I think we were. I think we were. I think they surprised us at what they could do with their aircraft. Yes. Yeah.
Did Admiral Phillips survive?
No, he went down with the ship. And Captain Leach died in the water off the ship.
So you're back in Singapore now. You're in HMS Sultan in barracks. What happens next?
Well, we got detailed off for different jobs. Guard duties on the ships, on the dock, down the dockyard. Some of them went back. Some of the Marines went into Malaya as a detachment. And some were doing more sentry duties on the water station, the Karangi water station.
And what did you do?
I stayed in the HMS Sultan during guard duties, watchkeeping. And on the one particular day, Admiral Spooner cleared lower deck on the parade ground. And he said that the naval chaps would be going home to Colombo, but the Marines would stay behind because they were soldier and sailor. So we had to stay behind. And eventually, when the army came down from Malaya, the Argos and the Islanders had lost so many men coming down through Malaya that the detachments from the Prince of Wales and Repulse made up two companies to form what they called then Plymouth Argos. Amalgamation of two companies of Argyles and two companies of Marines. And we were at Plymouth Argyles.
And what happened? And then your job to go on Singapore?
Yeah, we put on Singapore itself then, yes. Down with the Ford Motor Works, down that area.
And then was it inevitable? I mean, did you foresee what was going to happen? Was the feeling that the Japanese were just coming down and nothing would stop them?
We could find nothing to stop them. No. They came down through Milan and down as far as the causeway, which is between Malaya and Singapore. And that was blown up, but it didn't make a difference because they came across there anyway. And between us, where we were on the island, and the water was the Australians camped.
Yeah. what happened? I mean, as they...
Well, the Japs came through, came across on the causeway and on the water, and landed on the island itself, pushed the Australians back. We fell back through, and we went back to our camp at Tysel Camp. But the trouble there, when we left it earlier on, before the accident started, and returned, it had been made into a hospital, and they had Red Cross things. And of course, lo and behold, when the army did, they parked their ready vehicles alongside the Red Crosses. And because the Japs only bombed it and it caught fire, we all had to get out, and we all split up, all went different ways. And myself and six other Marines finished up then on the polo pitch in Singapore with the RESC. We joined up with them.
And you were fighting all the time, or were just retreating?
No, we're retreating most of the time and doing guard duties. And until eventually they decided to pack in. Surrender. That was it.
So what happened then? I mean, how did the order come through to surrender? What?
Well, where we were in a polo pitch, we just told to gather our weapons up, threw them in a lorry, and that was it. You're a prisoner of war. You've had it.
And the Japanese came and took you away?
Until his marches day. And to Changi Village. Was down past the prison, out to one side of the island, Changi Village.
And you were there with civilians, with all kinds
of people? No, most of the, in the village itself, was just service people in the shops. There was no shops as such, it was just broken down buildings. You slept where you could.
And, whoops, we've lost the mic again. Don't worry, I'll just pivot it on. There we go. Are you all right?
Yeah, fine.
And so now your imprisonment begins. What are your first impressions of the Japanese and how they treated you?
Small, short, four-eyed little bastards. Yeah.
And the treatment was terribly harsh.
The treatment at first wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad at all. I was in Changi Village. We were all together in the crowd. We didn't see many of them. The worst people there we had then was what they called the Free Indian Army, who turned over to the Japanese and the Koreans. They were the worst people.
The Free Indian Army, did you say?
The Free Indian Army, yeah.
These were Indians?
Yeah, they were Indian soldiers who turned over to the Japanese. They were what they called the Free Indian people. They were on the gates and on the roadways, the sentries and what have you. And they treated us as bad as the Japanese.
What about rations and food? And
food was quite good at the first 3 or 4 months. Because, I mean, a lot was what we stole and snatched away. Bearing in mind, we had no kit as such as the Marines, so we only had what we stood up in, really. I think I finished up with two pair of shorts, one khaki shirt, a pair of boots, and a blanket. That was it. That's all I had.
And did the prison... Changi prison, did it get quickly organized? Did you organize amongst yourselves? Do you had officers?
We had our own officers still with us at the time. Yeah.
Thomas Weber, Reel 3.